Afrikaner activists have been in Washington telling people about the plight of Afrikaans farmers and urging the US to lay sanctions against ANC politicians. It's caused a huge outcry in South Africa. Treason charges have been laid against them. They've been accused of spreading disinformation in the Washington corridors of power. And all of this, all the controversy, has meant an unprecedented amount of publicity towards a private organization which relies on members' fees and donations. Now, part of the alarm back home in response to this lobbying trip has been the group's claim that they met with some of America's most powerful politicians. Which got me thinking, who were these people at this incredibly hectic point in American politics, willing to carve out time to meet with a little-known organization from the tip of the African continent? I'm Rebecca Davis, senior journalist for Daily Maverick. So the delegation that went to Washington was sent by the Solidarity Movement, which, as a reminder, is an amalgamation of Afrikaner rights groups, media houses, and businesses. It includes the Solidarity Union and the lobby group Afroforum. They sent four guys to Washington in February. Afroforum CEO Kali Kriel, Solidarity CEO Dirk Herman, Solidarity Movement Chairman Flip Bass, and Solidarity's International Relations Liaison Jaco Kleinhans. While they were in Washington, these guys enjoyed an extraordinary amount of attention from the South African media. They were on TV doing crossings from the States almost every night of their trip, telling South Africans about the message they were taking to Washington. But what they never said was exactly who they were giving this message to. They made constant vague references to meeting with highly influential figures or key decision makers, which could really be anyone. But more specifically, Kali Kriel told his ex-followers that on February 26th, the group had met with, quote, senior members of the House of Representatives Committee on Foreign Affairs.
Ek gee graag terugvoer van ons tweede dag van diplomatieke skakeling hier.
In his video, he claimed that the meeting showed it was very clear that members of this committee closely monitor what is happening in South Africa, down to already knowing what was happening with the Bella Act. On February 27th, he referred to discussions held in the U.S. Congress with both Republicans and Democrats, which, quote, confirmed that there is currently anger among those in power in the U.S. over the ANC leaders' reckless policies and actions. On February 27th, he referred to discussions held, quote, in the U.S. Congress with both Republicans and Democrats, which, quote, confirmed that there is currently anger among those in power in the U.S. over the ANC leaders' reckless policies and actions. The same evening, Kriel told ENCA,
We went yesterday to Congress, spoke to senior people there. They are angry with regard to what is happening in South Africa. It threatens.
So these were quite specific claims. He was saying that the Solidarity Movement didn't just meet with secretaries or staffers or people who work for think tanks. Kali Kriel was saying they met with Congress members. That is the equivalent of our MPs, elected politicians to the Senate and the House of Representatives from both the Republican and Democratic parties. Now, that would really be quite something to pull off. I contacted two sources with experience lobbying in Washington, and they told me that your chances of getting in front of a congressman or congresswoman or senator as a private foreign group, not even a foreign political party, are minuscule. One told me it was, quote, virtually impossible. So I started off asking the Solidarity Movement who they met with. They refused to say who they met. The Solidarity Movement spokesperson Werner Humann told me, quote, we are not going to provide the details of the individuals we met with. It will compromise the integrity of our discussions and it will expose them to bombardment by the media and exploitative political parties and individuals. That's fine. Lobbying in Washington can be a secretive, shadowy business, but it is noteworthy that the DA took its own lobbying trip to Washington round about the same time. And their international relations spokesperson, Emma-Louise Powell, was happy to give much more detail about who the DA met with, which included Africa advisors at the National Security Council, Democrat senators from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, including Chris Coons, the legislative staff director for Ted Cruz, Secretary of State Marco Rubio's key advisor. But also to note is that the DA spends serious money on lobbying in Washington, which is what you have to do. There's a site called Open Secrets, which records how much foreign entities have spent lobbying in Washington over the past year. The DA is on there, SA Tourism is on there. Solidarity Movement is not on there. So what do we actually know about the Solidarity Movement trip from social media? We know that they visited the White House. They posted selfies from what seems to be the Eisenhower building in the White House complex. Tully Creel posted a selfie of himself in front of a plaque reading Committee on Foreign Affairs, which is a House of Representatives committee. They also posted a picture after a meeting at an LA restaurant with right-wing journalist Joel Pollack. This was the sole visual evidence on social media of a meeting held by the team, other than a video posted by Jaco Kleinhans of him being interviewed by a right-wing podcaster in a Starbucks.
Hey folks, welcome back. I'm here in Maryland with Jaco Kleinhans, who is responsible for international relations. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is it for the Solidarity Movement?
So who are these high-ranking Democrat and Republican senators, congressmen, and congresswomen the Solidarity Movement team say they met? Now, Creel, as I said, tweeted that the delegation had met with members of the House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Committee. This is possible, but it definitely was not an official hearing because there is no record of a Solidarity Movement meeting with the Foreign Affairs Committee on the committee's schedule for this year. Then I took a look at the 28 members of that committee, who, remember, Tully Creel said are so invested in South African affairs that they even know about the Bella Bill. I discovered that not a single member of that committee has tweeted about any reference to the Solidarity Movement or to the supposed plight of Afrikaners at any point this year, despite posting multiple times a day on X about other issues, in a climate where, for context, US senators and representatives are currently posting in an almost frenzied fashion about their current meetings and activities, either to curry favor with President Donald Trump or to distance themselves from him. During this period, the members of the Foreign Affairs Committee tweeted about meeting with delegations from Tunisia and expressed concern about political intolerance in Uganda. But by contrast, just one member of that committee has tweeted any reference to South Africa at all this year. That was Joe Wilson, a Republican representative from South Carolina, who recently introduced a proposed bill to manufacture a new $250 note featuring the face of Donald Trump because, quote, the most valuable bill should be for the most valuable president. Wilson tweeted on 3rd of February, some weeks before the Solidarity visit, quote, South Africa aligns itself with Iranian terrorists harassing Jewish civilians while pretending to be a major world power. Cutting off South Africa is long overdue. Trump will fix it. On 24th February, again before the Solidarity visit to Congress, he tweeted, quote, working against peace is the new platform of the African Union and their diabolical attempts to sabotage the Abraham Accords, harming the achievements of President Trump. Israel's African alliances remain unbroken at the hands of failed dictator Cyril Ramaphosa. Now, this reflects something that is true of the wider US Congress. What little pushback there has been against South Africa up until now is not about white South Africans, the Bella Act, white genocide, farm murders, or much else except Israel. It's about South Africa taking Israel to the International Court of Justice. Who else might the Solidarity Movement have been meeting with? Two international relations specialists I spoke to said that probably the most impactful possible body would be the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. But a US source with direct knowledge of the committee's activities told me last week no meeting with the Solidarity Movement had taken place. There's also no record of any scheduled engagement on the committee's website. Its members have been tied up instead recently hearing about, quote, the malign influence of the People's Republic of China at home and abroad. Now, the last time Congress had a hearing on South Africa was relatively recently in 2023. And those who addressed it were Professor Anthony Carroll, journalist Ridi Klabi, and Good Governance Africa's Chris Marileng. So despite the Solidarity Movement's claims that they have spent years cultivating the ear of Washington insiders, in other words, those relationships had clearly not borne sufficient fruit less than 18 months ago for Creel and Co. to wangle an invitation. But that was, of course, under Joe Biden's presidency. The second Trump presidency has ushered in a new climate, one which is even more fervently pro-Israel, and one which is opposed to any mention of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Suddenly, South Africa is a very useful foil, being framed, to quote Tucker Carlson's interview with former AfriForum CEO Ernst Rutz, as, quote, what happens when you take DEI
every
seriously?
Every group in the world has the right to its own homeland except white people? Like, what? Just explain to me how that makes sense. Either no group.
In other words, right, South Africa's post-democracy governance issues are being used to legitimize a racist agenda in the US. And figures like the Solidarity delegation may indeed find, as a result, that some new doors are open to those willing to tell stories about anti-white discrimination. In his Starbucks interview, Kleinhans said, quote, "We're going to work with the White House on the implementation of Trump's executive order. We have an open door to influence." Well, perhaps. But South Africans might also want to be a bit skeptical of the scale of influence and access this private members group is claiming to have on and to the corridors of power in Washington. This podcast was produced by Bernard Kotze and Emily Gombad. Listen and follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.